Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport, and I'm joined by the SE7 podcast. I'm Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined by Paul Sullivan and Ollie Cook, who it is good to see after a week away. Last week, we spoke a little bit about pre-season, a little bit about transfers, and I can finally say, I might be just as excited as you two. Real football's back. Meaningful football is back. No more friendlies, no more match sharpness. The games that really matter, and what a season it will be, because 46 games matters. It's a long season. 2-3 possibly games a week, and the first one starts this Saturday against Blackburn. But before all of that, there was another important game last Saturday. It was, of course, Chris Solly's testimonial. I kept an eye on it because I spoke to you guys last week. I'm invested now in this season. This addict season, trust me, when I jump on something, I'm nothing but commitment. So I was with my girlfriend. I said, oh, God, keep checking the scoreline. I've got the updates on my phone. I had it on the laptop.
Probably wish you didn't, though.
Yeah, and when I saw the scoreline, I was a little bit deflated. I was a little bit gutted. I know it's a pre-season, but, you know, we had Chris on the line last week, and I really wanted it to go well for him, and I wanted it to go well for you. Apart from the scoreline, which we know was disappointed, how was the day in general?
I'd say overall was a lovely day. It was a lovely day.
I like that, Ollie.
Oh, yeah, apart from the weather and the scoreline and everything like that, celebrating 10 years at the club with Chris Solly was, you know, it was lovely to mark the occasion. And it was really great to see everyone come together and support him. But having said that, on the pitch, we were absolutely pulled apart. Aston Villa, they're definitely in the Premier League, and they're definitely, spent. Oh, what, 150 million odd?
Ridiculous.
The talent they had in that pitch was unbelievable. I think, I don't know if you picked up on it as well, but that midfield pairing of McGinn and Grealish, they're going to be international soon. They're unbelievable.
You reckon Jack Grealish is that good?
Yeah, well, absolutely. He was absolute control in the game. He didn't score, I don't think. Might have had one assist, but we couldn't get near him. And he always pulled a bit of space. He was a brilliant player. So I'm not disheartened by the score because they're a brilliant side. They're going to do well in the Premier League, I reckon. That's not really what it was about. It was about marking Chris Solly's 10 years at the club. And I think they did it quite nicely.
Yeah, and just picking up on that, what was a really nice moment is when the players came out. Obviously, they had a guard of honour. But what was really sweet, Chris had both his children in his arms. He's only just recently had a second child, and the baby's probably only a couple months old. And obviously, when it came to the moment where they sort of shake the hands of the Villa players, he passed one of the, he passed the baby to Dylan Phillips. And of course, all the wags were saying, don't drop it, Will, Dylan, you know. So, but it was just and there was a lovely picture on Twitter with Chris Solly with his little nipper. And then just behind him, Dylan's holding the baby. And that was just a really nice moment. So that got things well underway, I thought.
Yeah. And then early on in the game, actually, there was a moment where Naby Sarr passed the ball back to Dylan Phillips. And we all had that flashback to the playoff final. Just like, oh, not again. Here it goes again. He controlled it this time, so it was all right.
Yeah, but just echoing what Ollie said, it was a bit of a lesson. And the worrying thing is, we all know that Aston Villa have probably spent the most in the Premiership. There's 100 million plus they've spent. But the pretty much all the midfield that were on show last Saturday was the midfield that they had in the Championship. And what was really sort of evident was, and what we're obviously going to face this season, is that if Charlton lose the ball, the incisiveness of Villa, the way they counter-attack and how quick, and the decision-making and the crispness and the way they just... It's simple football, but just putting that ball away. And we were 1-0 down, Charlie, and then all of a sudden we were 3-0 down.
Yeah, I saw. I was keeping up to date with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was concerning that. But I think that's a really good point, that their midfield was more or less... Their Championship midfield was going to show what talent we're going to be playing against this season. Mm. And looking at our... I mean, we've got good players in the team, but we are not anywhere near that level of that Villa midfield, and a lot of the other sides in the league as well, that we're not on that level. And so, yeah, it did bring it back down to earth a little bit. That it's going to be a tough season.
I know we spoke a little bit last week how we said pre-season results, they don't really matter. We've said it's fitness, it's sharpness, it's maybe trying a new formation, bedding in new players, letting them get the chemistry. But does it matter when it's the last result before the new season and that's still maybe in the players' mind somewhat?
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to what I usually do on Football Manager. My last pre-season is against a non-league team.
Make sure you get the 5-0.
Yeah, or get the morale up.
I know what you do. You're one of those managers that arranges a pre-season friendly against the reserves, ain't you? Just to build that confidence. Yeah, we've seen it.
Morale right up there. Yeah, so yeah, it might be one of them that, you know, we're going to go into the season realising, oh, that's a 4-1 defeat. That's a bit concerning, but knowing Lee Bowen, the way he talks to the players and the way he organises himself, they've already forgotten about it, I reckon.
Well, I think it's key to play a team like Aston Villa, because it was a really good test. Because no disrespect to our other opposition teams that we played, I mean, to play someone like Aston Villa as your last game before you go into the real stuff, just showed us what we're going to be up against. So that was very good, and I think we can take a lot of positives from it, because it showed to our players, you know, what to expect. We possibly won't expect that high caliber of team, because don't forget, you know, Villa got promoted and they're now a Premiership team. So we hopefully won't experience such strong opposition. I remember last season we had a very good win. Remember, we beat Norwich City.
Oh yeah,
Norwich City were champions of the Championship, and I think they put out a pretty strong side, and that was our last game last season. So it's nice the way Charlton have organised it. Good planning to play such a strong opposition in the last game before you go in for the real stuff.
In the testimonial game then for Chris Solly, of course, he had his family there. It's a lovely day. You just mentioned his kids were there and it was supported by legions of Charlton fans. But does that sort of take a little bit of the happiness away? Maybe tinged with sadness because of the result. Because when people go, oh, your testimonial, when he looks back on that, his career, will he remember that it was 4-1? Or do you think, what a day to be part of it?
Well, I really hope he doesn't think back and go, oh, I lost it though. But yeah, I mean, in a way that, we were there to celebrate Chris Solly, and what nicer way to celebrate than beating Aston Villa. But it was always going to be a tall order, knowing, you know, their side and the players they've brought in, the players they already have. But yeah, looking back on it, you'd think, yeah, I wish I won my testimonial, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I tend to disagree with you. I think personally I wouldn't if I was in Chris Solly's shoes. I think once the game's over, I think at the end of the day, the fans have turned up to salute you. And that was the first and foremost thing. And I think you can compartmentalise it. And Chris Solly will look back on this testimonial season with great pride. He's had a couple of good do's apart from the match last Saturday. He had a very successful Q&A. I know he had a very good dinner. I think he had a golf thing, you know, where all the sort of celebrities came out, and he's also made some good money for charity, the prostate cancer,
we
touched upon. I think he thoroughly enjoyed the day, and he put out a heartfelt message later on, just thanking all the fans. And from Chris Solly's personal point of view, I think he would have enjoyed the day. And personally, I mean, you don't remember pre-season results. Yeah. Well, I do. I know we beat Ipswich 6-1 two seasons ago. And
that was brilliant, that.
I actually crossed my mind, will Mick McCarthy get sacked after this game? Because then, you know, Ipswich, that was the sort of the start of their downfall.
Decline,
really.
Yeah,
their decline. And it was quite embarrassing. I remember Ricky Holmes scored an absolute beauty.
It was a great game, that.
Superb.
In that, in the game, the testimonial, we did score a goal from a penalty. Why didn't Solly take it? Why did we give it Taylor?
I had this question down, and I thought it's his testimonial. I thought, because I know we mentioned he's only got a few goals and we were speaking about it last week. I thought they'll definitely try. Surely they'll put him up front for the last 20 minutes or they'll try get him a goal. I saw a penalty and I was like, well, oh, we must have scored it, because when it was flashing up on my phone, I thought, why didn't he take the penalty? That is very strange to me.
It's his testimonial. Let him score. But they even did like a sensible sub and took him off before the end.
to get the standing ovation.
I
reckon, surely, I mean, we don't want to speculate. I reckon they would have said, Chris, do you want it? And he would have gone, ever the professional, no, this is a real football, like, we treat this like a real football match. Yeah. We'll stick to who the penalty takers are, because he doesn't seem one. He doesn't want to bask in the glory, does he? So he doesn't, I would assume it would have come from Chris that he didn't want to take that penalty.
Probably knowing that Chris's mentality is all about the team. It's always been about the team. So if that's what he was thinking, like, we're still preparing for the season, even though it's my testimonial, you know, our penalty takers should take it. And Lyle Taylor took it in the typical walking up to the penalty fashion.
Walking through cement.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it so much. Like, every time I'm panicking, walking up to the ball, just kick it, put me out of my misery.
And of course, what was so interesting, he was up against Jed Steer, who spent quite a bit of time with Charlton last season. So there would have been a lot of mind games, I would have thought. But I don't think when Jed was at the club last season, Lyle Taylor was using that tactic of walking up with the penalty. So that would have been a new thing for Jed Steer. He did go the right way. But I think it was the right decision for Taylor to take the penalty, because being the ever optimist, we were back in the game at 1-3 down, and I'm thinking, yes, come on, let's get back into this game. And, Lee Bowyer would have thought, well, at least get it to 2-3 and we can take even more positives out of this.
And then John McGinn danced for our defence.
I know, what a goal.
What a goal.
It was superb.
Yeah, I was just pleased to see it, to be fair, even if it goes against us. Like,
you witnessed it, Ollie. You can appreciate a thing of beauty, a goal like that. We've spoken about then, the Championship season kicks off against Blackburn this Saturday. The real football is here, you know, on this show. It feels like a long off season. We wait for football. We have to talk about transfers. We have to talk about pre-season. In a bit, we're going to be talking about Charlton, if they're ready or not for the Championship season. But I want to ask you two, as fans, do you feel you're ready for the new Championship season?
You mean me personally?
Yeah. being back in there, taking on different opposition, being back in that flight, are you ready for what's ahead, good or bad?
I'll tell you what, the minute the full-time whistle blew at Wembley and we got promoted, I was looking forward to the season. Like, that second, I was like, I'm excited. Now it's only a few days away. We've got our tickets to go to Blackburn. We're ready to go. And I'm getting nervous. I'm like saying, oh, hang on, maybe we could do another week of pre-season or something, because it's going to be a tough one. Yeah, as much as I want to watch more football, I don't watch Charlton lose. So, it's a mixed bag.
Well, personally, for me, I do enjoy the break, because I'm one of these fans who goes to every single home and away game, including all the pre-season friendlies. So I actually do enjoy my summer break. I do need a breather. And obviously, because our season extended all the way to the end of May, I just had June to recover. It could start a little bit later, to be honest. And obviously, with all the ramifications that's going on, it's obviously gone a bit flat. We'll probably talk about this a little bit later in the show. After the euphoria of Wembley in May, I feel this game is coming a bit too soon for us, because we still haven't got enough signings in. And I know a few fans are quite worried about what could happen on Saturday at Ewood Park.
Yeah, it's a good point, because I think on Twitter, Charlton released like the squad numbers, as you do at the beginning of the season, and that really hit home how small our squad is. We barely got to the 20s. So,
we didn't get our single numbers, yeah. Yeah.
Ollie, what are you most nervous about? Oh, the squad numbers come out and we didn't get to 18. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's been a worrying season.
I mean, what was incredible in Lee Bowyer's press conference today, he actually sort of made a point. Oh, yeah, I'm really pleased that we can actually name a full bench this season. Because last season, I don't know if you were aware, Charlie, when we went up to Sunderland for the opening game of the season, we only had 4 or 5 on the bench and they were all kids. So he's actually boasting the fact that we can actually put a full bench out. And I'm thinking, is that something things to boast about, you know?
Well, in a season that started with only 4 or 5 on the bench, you did end up getting promoted. So let's not knock it to you. It may be an omen. Ollie's nervous. Paul wants another week on his holidays because he's not ready to do 46 games home and away. Let's talk about transfers next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Cholton Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by the SE7 podcast guys, Paul Sullivan and Ollie Cook. We was just talking about how they're feeling ahead of the new championship season. Ollie said he was nervous. What is to come? Paul said he wants to recharge Joe's batteries a little bit longer. And Paul, I've heard you've got a very strange and interesting match day routine. I want both routines, home and away. What does it involve?
Blimey. Well, let's do away first, because that's coming up on Saturday. So I work backwards. So I think the coach leaves Charlton at 8:15 on Saturday morning. So I'm one of these who needs a bit of time in the morning to get myself together to do all my ablutions. So basically, I need 2 hours, literally 2 hours. So I have an hour for the bathing, the shaving and all that business, malarkey. And then I like to just chill out and have me porridge and cup of tea and maybe just sort of catch up with all things Charlton. And then what I do 2 hours before the coach is due to leave, I set off from my home and I like to walk. So I walk, I think it's about two and a half miles from where I live in Plumstead to Charlton. And it's a lovely walk, obviously, at this time of year in the summer. Go through the park, see all the lovely deer and a bit of nature, you know. And
we should have got some music in the background of this.
Yeah.
We've missed the trick.
Well, I used to do a thing called post-match musings, you know, back in the day.
It's like telling, it's like a bedtime story. Yeah. It was so comforting.
I need David Attenborough to narrate this. Paul gets up and his porridge at 6:15. He needs an hour to shave this creature and shower. He checks out Cholton News, and then he takes a walk. It's only 2.5 miles from Plumstead down to Cholton. There we go.
Yeah,
I could have done
Charlie.
Much longer, but yeah. I'm invested. I'm in already.
I mean, to be honest, you're selling it.
Thank you, mate.
And anyway, one of the most sort of exciting parts is when I reach the Valley Cafe.
This is the bit I want to know about.
Yeah.
And I meet up with obviously Rob, who's unfortunately not here tonight, and Rob, my brother, and the usual suspects. And we have our bacon sarnies and whatnot, and you know, chew the cud. Kevin Nolan comes in from the South London Press with a wry grin on his face. Here we go again. It'd be one of those on Saturday. Also with a tinge of sadness, obviously, because we've lost our steward, Betty, who unfortunately passed away in the summer. So that was very sad. Remember Lyle Taylor visited her in the hospice, which was fantastic. And then we got the coach. And the coach is quite special to me because I've got a bit of a reputation for my reading material.
I'm just going to hazard a guess here, Paul, and say that you're someone who sits in the same seat for every coach trip.
I would like to. And, but the thing is, there's a pecking order on the DJ coach. The DJ coach. And you have got to be something special to be near the front because there's a gang.
Oh.
And basically, they get their seats. And John from Larkfield, who I hope is listening tonight,
Of a bully boy? He gets the seat first, does he?
Well, he's the top boy. He's the top dog.
Yeah, well, John, you listen. You tune in, mate. Yes. You ring us. Paul wants that seat. It's a new season. Yeah. We're back in the championship. I'm only joking, John. I don't know how big he is, so I better lay off.
No, the thing is, I reckon it'll take me another 20 years to be sitting in the front because I do like the excitement of looking out the front of a coach. Because when I was a kid, I used to pretend I was driving the bus at the top of the bus.
I still do that on the DLR.
Yeah. So, but we were having a discussion, weren't we, Ollie? But you tell them about my reading material. Go on.
Yeah, so, Paul reads a number of books on the way up. What was the first one you had? It was on trains, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like the complete history of trains.
Complete history of trains.
Yeah.
And then it was another book on buses, for the bus. And he's got a new one for the new season, which is Heritage Railways of Somerset and
Dorset.
And Dorset, yeah, yes. Yeah. Which obviously is one I've been meaning to get around to.
Yeah.
But
it's on my Amazon wish list. If you are listening, send it my way.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas
list,
present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got that for the journey. So, yeah, I mean, you've got a few books to read this season.
Yeah, riveting read. I mean, it's become a bit of an in-joke. I think we had a bit of we always have a pre-get-together before the season, the gang of us, including Rob, who's on the show. And he presented me with this book at the Curry House the other week, and it was my new book for the coming season. So
so what do you do? You only read one book and it takes you a whole season, or one book per away trip?
Yeah, I generally drag it out.
That's a lot of dragging. I mean, 23 yes. away games. Blackburn's like 5 hours on a coach's. I've done it many times. Not a short coach trip, that, to Blackburn.
Yeah, but I don't know about you, Charlie. I can't. A lot of these people, they go on holiday and they consume about 5 or 6 books. I just can't do that. I'll do a chapter tops, and then I've just got to come away and recover. You know, that's the way I am.
That heritage railway.
Yeah. Yes. So a bit of reading, bit of social, bit of chat.
Yeah, bit of chat.
Catching up on your Cholton news.
Yeah.
Maybe you bring your porridge. You still got your bacon, spare bacon roll.
There's all that. there will be obviously a little service stop. And then I get really annoyed if we get up there after 1:30, because we do like a good hour or so before the match, so we can sample the local pub. And in Blackburn in particular, there's a lovely sandwich cafe place across the road from the ground, which do the top meat pies in the northwest. So
there you know, go. There you I go. Like how all your, let's say, your itinerary revolves around cafes and where the good food places are.
Yes.
It's what I'm after.
Yeah. Oh, it's culture, isn't it? Go and find the best pie place in wherever you're going. There you go. That's yeah. tourism.
What about you, Ollie? What do you get up to when you get to the away games?
Well, I generally get up there and, like you, sample the local culture, whatever the nearest pubs to the ground is.
Yep.
And then, yeah, straight to the game. I don't have as much of a
Ollie,
a routine,
you could have put
you.
Some more thought into that.
I'm sorry, man. It's just as it is.
We've been talking about, Paul, your routine there. Is it exciting, in then, just from the Cholton perspective, for your perspective, a whole host of new teams, being back in the Championship, places you didn't go last year, a few different journeys. Does that yeah. excite you as well?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm getting to the stage now where I've only got about 5 grounds to do. So
what are those 5?
Or, if I can name them off the top of my head, Morecambe, Newport County. I went to the old Newport ground.
Doesn't count.
But I haven't been to Rodney Parade. I think I haven't seen a competitive game at Forest Green.
What, Salford?
Oh, Salford, yeah.
There you go.
That's thrown me.
It might be 6 now.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's 5 or 6. But I'm still excited to go back to grounds I haven't been to years and years. I haven't been to Stoke's Britannia Stadium since 1998.
Sort of lucky
need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that this season. I've never been to Ewood Park, actually. So.
Have you not?
Really?
No, it's my first. Charlie's making a bit of a face.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Grass. Yeah, no, it's a tricky one, Blackburn. It's quite weird the way it's laid out. It's sort of in the middle of nowhere as well. But, maybe I'm sort of tainted. You judge sometimes a stadium on how well your team's performed there, haven't
That's
you?
Right.
Sometimes not from your own personal perspective.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think I've seen Charlton win up there. I've been to Ewood Park about 4 or 5 times, and I think our last 10 visits, we've had about 7 defeats. We did get a very famous draw up there in 2001, which secured our Championship title going up to the Premiership with Alan Kirbishley. And I remember seeing a game on Sky with Palio Di Canio on a Monday night, and we got a 1-0 win.
Oh, right.
And of course, God rest his soul, Darren Pitcher scored a goal in the a famous FA Cup win when Alan Shearer was playing for Blackburn Rovers.
Oh, wow.
But to be honest, it's nice and refreshing to be going up to Blackburn in August, because normally I go up there in November, December, January. We always lose 2-3-0. And, the highlight is that sandwich cafe across the road. With that
does
meat
your
pie.
2-hour walk, or the walk, your 2.5-mile walk, does that change in due to certain conditions in the winter, or you still do that walk?
No, still do it. Still do it, yes.
Yeah, every away game you do that walk?
Yeah, regardless, yes.
Ah, that's commitment.
Yeah, that's a routine.
You are in a Championship. Let's talk about it then, because we know you're gearing up for this season. If you're ready, we've said you're a bit nervous, you've got your routine. How are Cholton? Are they ready? Are they ready to face this new season? And what awaits them in the Championship? What are your expectations? What are Cholton's expectations?
I think Lee Bowyer really said it well today in his presser that the goal is to stay in the league. It's nothing like nothing fancy, nothing complex.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, stay in the league, and it kind of goes to show where we are in terms of our preparation. In that we know we're not the strongest team. We know probably not the most I don't know what the word is, like, you know, good at football. We're not the best at football. But it's more about his tactical approach. Like, if you can stop a good team playing against us, you can stop good players playing against us, we can stay in this league easily. It's all about how we're going to approach the game, how our players are going to be set up. So it's going to be more tactics this season than anything else. And I always think Lebo is ready for it. I think he's a great manager. He motivates the players. He sets up really well. So if we're ready for the season, in terms of players and numbers, probably not yet, but we still have the rest of the window to go. But I mean, Bowie, I trust at this point.
Yeah, I think we've got to be very careful. I think there is a tendency with fans in general, if we were to lose heavily on Saturday, then we'll be all down on ourselves and fearing the worst. But I think we've got to definitely be rather piecemeal and take it game by game. Lebo has got this incredible passion, and that's what we've got to focus on. So I think going into Saturday's game, obviously we're a little bit short on numbers, and don't get ahead of ourselves. We've obviously got next week for the loan signings, and I'm really confident actually we'll get some good loan signings in. It doesn't look we're going to get many on the permanent side, because Roland has pretty much set his stall out there. And I think at the end of the day, Lebo has got this mentality that we are winners, and we will surprise a few people.
Well, I wanted to actually ask you about that, Paul. Is it quite hard for fans to transition from the euphoria of being promoted from League One and that high and being like, yes, you know, winning a lot of games, you got to the playoffs, now you're up, to now going sort of having a reset moment where you're like, let's just temper those expectations. We're just trying to survive. Let's establish ourselves back in the Championship. Let's find our footing. But when Lee Bowyer does have that winner's mentality and we want to keep that, sort of do you find yourself, where do we transition between those three?
Well, I think the transition has already been done for us, because obviously with the behind the scenes situation with the ownership, we've all been rather deflated since the end of May. I think I only had that excitement, if I'm really honest, for top three weeks. Ever since then, we had the debacle with Bowyer's contract, and at one point we thought we were going to lose him, and everyone was up in arms.
It was a bit of a crazy 72 hours.
It was terrible. Yeah. And as I said, I said to Johnny Barrow at the time, I was so upset that I was putting the more expensive petrol in my car as opposed to the cheap stuff, because I just couldn't concentrate, because I was so livid when that news came through. The euphoria has disappeared quite quickly. So I think we're all quite realistic going into Saturday's game. Yes, it was a great, great day. But I think after 3 o'clock on Saturday, our minds will be focused on what's going ahead.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, obviously, we had a great season, but being Charlton fans for as long as we've been Charlton fans, we know that's not the norm. We know that, you know, coming away from Wembley with a win is no, once in 20 years, apparently. Yeah. So, yeah, we've got to reset back to normal, like, standard expectations, know what we are, know what we're capable of, and, go into it with a realistic, pragmatic mindset.
Well, the guys aren't getting ahead of themselves. I might do it for them. We've been talking a little bit about Championship expectations. Next, we're going to be talking about legends.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by the boys from the SE7 pod, Paul Sullivan and Ollie Cook, and I'm delighted to say someone else has joined us on the line. Ahmed, how are you? Regular Charlton caller, thank you for calling in. How are you feeling ahead of this weekend's game against Blackburn Rovers?
Hi guys, nice to be on.
Hi, Ahmed.
I have a lot of trepidation. I mean, I mentioned it last week about, were we going to get enough bodies in? We haven't had much movement. We're talking about 5 loan players possibly next week. It's getting to the 11th hour, and the squad is looking pretty thin on numbers.
I heard a few rumours that we were in for a few players, and they've all been nicked off us at the last minute.
We've been outbid, apparently, every time.
John Marquis, who was from Doncaster, he wouldn't have liked to come to us anyway. We didn't treat him
He's ex-Millwall, but he signed for Pompey, didn't he, the other day?
Yeah,
so.
And there was another fellow who signed for Sunderland as well, apparently we were in for as well. I can't remember his name.
Mark McNulty, correct.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is then, Ahmed? Like, why are these clubs in the league below us managed to nick players out from under our noses?
because Bowe's been having his hand tied behind him. Apparently, De Chastelet, when we were in League One, would only offer $5,000 a week, and now we're in the Championship, it's only $12,000 a week. So obviously, Bowe can only go in at that sort of level, and then he gets outbid by other. Well, we've got some very, very financially powerful clubs in the Championship that we're competing against.
Yeah, and Ahmed, apparently agents have been laughing at us when
we've been telling them how much we can offer. Doesn't surprise me. And also, Middlesbrough are pushing hard to get Dick Steele, by the way.
Indeed, and not only Middlesbrough, apparently Bristol City are very interested.
Bristol City, correct. They've been spending some money as well, yeah.
Yep, indeed.
I'll be interested. He will be able to get 18 players, including the bench, tomorrow. But after that, there's pretty much nothing else if we get any more injuries.
I mean, Ollie touched on it then. So basically, good League One players like John Marquis, he's now gone to Portsmouth, so he's chosen a League One side over Charlton. Mark
Correct.
McNulty has chosen a League One side.
Portsmouth over
has
us,
gone to
yeah.
Sunderland. And I'll tell you another one who went today is Jamal Lowe from Portsmouth to Wigan. That's the situation we've got to now. No disrespect to Wigan. And it's a bit like Patrick Bauer going to Preston. These are the sort of teams that we're losing out to now.
It doesn't help that our great owner, went on TalkSport and basically said at the end of his rant, he goes, I own a club that I can't sell.
Yeah,
and the
right.
basic answer is ... Well, lower your selling price then, you so-and-so.
He also said on that particular interview that he would say to people, don't buy a football club.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah, they asked him, what would be your advice to someone who is looking to buy a football club? He says, don't do it.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? And also, which is very worrying, is that the money that we're probably getting from the Lookman sale from Everton to Leipzig, obviously putting two and two together with Bowyer's press conference today, we're not going to see any of that. So he's just
well,
going
to. Well, he said that directly, and he was asked that question. He said, no, right. It's a separate
there
budget. It's got nothing to do with me.
There you go.
Ahmed, just quickly, thank you for coming on tonight. What is your score prediction for the weekend?
I'm going to say a very optimistic 2-2.
2-2?
Yeah, 2-2, yeah.
You're more optimistic than me, Ahmed.
Listen, we got Lee Bowyer in charge, not Carol Fry, so at least we've got some job.
Yeah, you've cheered me up.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, take care. So, Ahmed, 2-2 there. We'll get your score predictions a little bit later. But, Ollie, I do want to ask you now, because apparently you're the one that's made the decision tonight, because it is time for your club legend of the week. Ollie, please, do the honours.
Yeah, so it's someone that people of recent years probably associate Charlton with quite a lot. It's only Mr. Matty Holland, former club captain and formerly my favourite player when I was a little bit younger.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
I saw Matty Holland last month at the airport, and for some reason, I used to love Matty Holland. You know the football Panini stickers? I got Matty Holland, and I don't know why. I remember the time, you know, he was in the World Cup and he was playing for Charlton and stuff. And I just really took to him. I think when I was a kid, he was a player that I sort of wanted, that was like, you know, that midfielder, that was the player I wanted to be. I saw him, I was desperate for a photo, and he was sitting across me. I didn't ask, I got nervous. I bottled it.
Yeah, absolutely bottled it. You should have got a photo.
He is a legend.
Well, he probably recognised you, Charlie. He was just as nervous. You know?
No, he probably thought, why is this person across me sweating and trying to make eye contact whilst trying to look like I'm not making eye contact? It's a difficult thing to do.
No, when you're looking at someone, well, no, you're not even looking at someone. You look over and they look at you and you think it's awkward. But no, back to Matt Holland. When I was, his first few years, actually, when I was going to Charlton, when they were in the Premier League, he really epitomised what it was that we liked about Charlton. He was very committed to the club. He was the club captain. He really took to that role. He worked his absolute socks off every single game. He'll trap back, he'll attack, he'll do everything. And I have some really great memories of him playing football. And the best one was that unbelievable goal he scored against Middlesbrough at the Valley, right in front of the covered end. I think that's probably one of his most famous.
Yeah, I mean, he joined us around about 2002, I think. And I think it's fair to say, not only was he a legend at Charlton, but he was also, you know, probably an even bigger legend at Ipswich Town. I think he obviously played 60, 70 games more at Portman Road. Talking about what you just said there about when you see players and you don't know how to react, I saw Matt Holland at a pre-season friendly Braintree Town. And yeah, you just, you want to chat to them, and you're thinking, well, I know you, but obviously you don't know me. It's a really weird sort of situation.
I think it's a really tricky thing. I think sports people, even outside of football, it's the only thing where I wouldn't maybe say hello to someone, because we think they're so inaccessible to us, or, yeah, you know, they probably get it every day. They get, sure, it every 5 minutes. Do they really want me to be bothering them for 2 minutes, even if I'm going to say, oh, I'm a fan? And I just thought, oh, you know what? He's on his holidays. He's at an airport. I leave, yeah, him be. He's with his kids. But I just thought, oh, he was like, when I was a youngster, I don't know why, I just really modelled my game on Matty Holland.
Well, yeah, I can see that, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers,
yeah,
Paul. Appreciate
diminutive
that.
Diminutive midfield,
yeah,
player.
Checks in the post. Thank,
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
I didn't have the same thought process when I saw Lyle Taylor walking down the street. I grabbed him and said, can I have a photo, please? Like, I didn't let him get
go
away from
it.
He can't, he's not exactly hard to spot with that haircut, yeah, is he? So, like,
but he seems someone maybe that you would approach. He seems like he'd be okay. Not that Matty, yeah, Holland wouldn't, but, you know, some things, let them be. They're on their own journey or whatever.
Yeah, well, he was really nice about Lyle Taylor. It was like half a year ago now, wasn't it? And, yeah, he's really up for the photo. I don't know if he gets stopped a lot, but yeah, it was really good.
Well, there you have it, Matty Holland. That was your club legend of the week.
Love Sport.
Now, though, again, we've been joined by a Chris Thompson, Charlton fan. Chris, thank you for joining us this evening. Charlton, they're starting their championship season this weekend. How are you feeling towards the Saturday's game against Blackburn?
I'm a bit like Paul. I could actually have done with a longer rest. And by the way, Paul, that cafe you refer to is Lever's Bakery, and the only point I disagree with you on is I think not only are they the best pies in the Northwest, I don't think there's any better pies in England than you get from Lever's.
Right, but, yeah.
I digress.
No. These are the points we need to be talking about.
This is what football's about.
Yeah, the season. Well, the squad we have at the moment, we will undoubtedly finish bottom with. The quality was always going to come from the five loanees that we expect to bring in. I don't think any of them are going to be here in time, certainly to start at Blackburn. I mean, the guys, the team are leaving at lunchtime tomorrow. I think Friday morning they just do a little bit of shape training. So they won't have been involved in any training sessions. That's hard to see how they can slot in, whether dependent on who they get, whether they'd be able to make an appearance for the bench or not. I don't know. The worrying thing is, as you've been talking about all show, all the targets we've had, we've been trumped on.
Yep.
So we're now down to, I don't know, probably third or fourth picks. Now, out of that lot, we've somehow got to get the new Bilic and the new Cullen. The most likely one to be able to do that, I guess, is the Chelsea youngster.
Yeah, Gallagher. Yeah.
Gallagher.
Yep.
Yeah, captain of the under-21s. Well, yeah, I think he's only 19, but if he can turn it on and had the right attitude like Bilic and Cullen do, it will be fantastic. He's gotten a little bit quiet on that front, but he hasn't signed for anyone else. And though we think our top targets have gone, look at it from the other side. Arsenal have now got a 10 million player on their hands in Bilic. Now, Charlton have contributed towards that. Cullen had a good season with us, but Charlton's good for Cullen as well.
Yep.
And I think some of these sides, you know, like your Arsenals, your Chelsea's, your West Ham's, they might look at Bowie and look at Charlton and say, well, so-and-so's a good player, but he really needs a year in the Championship. They'll get the best out of him. So I think we might get one or two offers, but as Bo says, we might be patient with it.
Chris, is the loan market a market that Charlton should be looking at? We've seen it do wonders for Derby in the Championship. If there isn't much money there, could this be an avenue that Charlton could use?
I think it has to be, Charlie. If you look at the squad that they've got now, it won't compete. They need this infusion of quality, probably an infusion of pace. We're talking about only one more permanent signing, and I would not be surprised if that turns out to be Callum Harriott.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you looked at the squad numbers today, we see number 11 was left out. So
okay.
he's not if it's not Callum, it will be one of the guys. Now, yeah. I don't have a problem with Callum. He frustrates, but he is versatile. He can fill the number 10 role. He can play wide. He can win a game out of nothing. He doesn't do it anywhere near as often as with his ability he should do. But he is frustrated and shown he's up to the class of the championship. So I certainly wouldn't dismiss him. And would I offer him a contract? Yeah, I think I would. Now, he hasn't got one at the moment. Whether we're likely to do something late on so he can figure at Blackburn, even if it's a short-term deal, I don't know. But if that is what we're going to have in permanence, it has to be the loan market. And I say we haven't got too many names. If you take away Gallagher, I haven't heard too many others mentioned at the moment.
Yeah, and with regard to permanent signings, Chris, I just think maybe where it might work in our favour is when all these clubs are so bullish and they say, oh no, you know, we want X amount of money and you're not offering enough. If these guys are still twiddling their thumbs towards the end of the transfer window and they haven't got a club, then they might come back cap in hand to us, and we might get one or two of the original targets that we were pursuing.
Oh, I think you're right, Paul. I think that is possible. And the other thing that I guess Bowie's got up his sleeve is if we don't get what we want from the loan market, there is still the free agents market after the window closes.
Yeah, that's very right, Chris. And the loan market continues after the transfer deadline. They continue. So, and it's a chain reaction sometimes in a transfer window. We hear other teams do business, then it maybe will help Charlton do their business when they need to offload players. Chris Thompson there, Charlton fan. Thank you for joining us.
Cheers,
Chris.
All the best.
It is the championship season, like we've said. Blackburn Rovers, we've been getting score predictions. Before I get your two score predictions, you may want to wait because you might want to hear what Ryan Hildred has to say from Rovers chat.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport. I've been joined by the boys from the SE7 pod. I'm Charlie Hawkins. They are Paul Sullivan and Ollie Cook. And it is time for the opposition view. That's right. Now, with us, we've got Ryan Hildred on the line from Rovers chat. Ryan, we've been talking a little bit here. We feel ahead of the new season. Charlton back in the championship. Blackburn, of course, have been there for a while. What can Charlton expect this weekend from the Rovers?
Yeah, I think Saturday's game is going to be a business-like performance from Rovers. Stability and Blackburn Rovers haven't gone hand in hand for the last 10 years or so. So we start the season very much on a stable footing. We're not like Charlton, the new team into the championship. You know, we're going to want to get the points on the board on the opening day. August is actually a pretty tough month for us, actually, with Middlesbrough, West Brom, Cardiff and Fulham all to play. So we will be eyeballing this game on Saturday to get the 3 points on the board so that we potentially don't go 3-4.
Easy,
four,
Ryan.
Games.
This is a Charlton fan show. Know your audience. You've got to go and tread more softly than that. You know, gee
yeah,
them up a little
no,
bit.
So I'm afraid it's going to be business for Blackburn on Saturday. So we're going to want to get those points on the board, definitely.
Okay, Ryan. Let me just point something out to you. You haven't won an opening game fixture since 2010.
No,
so
and I think
you're
going to
change
actually,
that on
yeah.
Saturday, are you?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. We've had a very solid pre-season. We've looked good. Spirits are high amongst the players. Largely kept the squad together, you know, negotiated around losing David Raya to Brentford. So, yeah, we're on a stable footing. We're looking good.
This is not what I want to hear at all. Ryan, you've been saying how strong Blackburn are right now. Are there any chinks in the armour? Is anything that Charlton can exploit this weekend in terms of... You know, what you've set up.
Yeah, definitely. The fullback areas remains a weakness for us. We're still hoping that Mowbray is going to pull something out of the bag with the rest of the transfer window just to solve that. We had Elliot Bennett filling in there at right back at times last season. And, you know, he tries his best. He gives his all for the club. He's not, you know, a right back. So we've got Ryan Nyambi, who's a youngster for us, who we've all got high hopes for, but he still needs more games under his belt. Crosses into the box, stopping them coming in, definite weakness for us. So the fullback areas, if you've got some pace out wide, you'll cause us some problems.
We don't really have wingers.
We've got Lyle Taylor. We'll go out there. No problem. Ollie, go on.
I was just going to flip that question. I don't know how much Blackburn fans know about Charlton. Obviously, we're new to the league this season. But is there anything that Blackburn fans worry about the Charlton team? Or is it, as you say, just going business as usual?
Well, Lyle Taylor, I saw him in our League One campaign when we were, I think he was still at Wimbledon at the time. He's got pace, he's got trickery, he's got something about him, you know, can pull a rabbit out of the hat from anywhere, so he would worry me, most certainly. And I like the look of, is it Dykesteel? Is that how you say his name?
Yes,
like the look of him last season. Yeah, I thought he was really good for you. He's your right back, isn't he?
Yeah, although we've been sort of playing him wing back as well. But he's also capable of playing defensive midfield, although we haven't seen much of that, to be fair. But yeah, he's very versatile.
Yeah, I like the look of him last season, definitely.
And you mentioned about your weaknesses there. I mean, obviously, I've been quite impressed with some of the players you've brought in. You brought the chap in from Southampton for £5 million, Sam Gallagher. And also quite impressive pedigree with Bradley Johnson. And the name escapes me. Yeah, Stuart Downing. Yeah, guy. But he's 35 years of age.
Yeah.
Bradley Johnson particularly, I mean, he's a strong midfielder, isn't he?
Yeah, we've got some high hopes for Bradley Johnson. If we were having this conversation this time last year, I would have said our central midfield was a weak area for us. But we've had Lewis Travis really emerge from our academy last season, who is one of the first names on the team sheet now. Very dynamic box-to-box midfielder, tough in the tackle. Bradley Johnson is going to be the perfect foil for him, I think. He's just going to sit in front of that back four, absorb the ball, spray it about, let Travis get about the park more than what Johnson can now. So Johnson is a signing who I think is going to make the world of difference for us and allow everyone in front of him just to play their game, most certainly.
Just away from this game then, this weekend, Ryan, what are Blackburn's expectations going into the season? Is this another season where they just still need to just get their squad together, or can they achieve the playoffs and maybe look at a late run into getting promotion?
Yeah, we are a pessimistic bunch, the Blackburn fans. I want to be optimistic, and actually I predicted us to come sixth in the Rovers chat pre-season predictions. Playoffs might just be a little bit too far, but we have got to aim for the playoffs. And the reason I say that is I think we're on borrowed time as far as Bradley Dack's concerned. It could be January when he goes. It could be next summer when he goes. And I think Mowbray possibly knows that. I think we've gone back to this trading club model where we sell an asset for a lot of money and that satisfies the FFP regulations. So we signed Ben Brereton out of nowhere for $7 million last summer. That was like, wow, we're spending $7 million. $5 million for Gallagher, you know, for a team that is bleeding money. We've got big debts. That's a lot of intent. And I do think Mowbray's possibly got an eye on Dak leaving us to balance the books. So therefore, playing that into the equation, we've got to look for the playoffs this season whilst we've got Dak, because he is integral to it.
Yeah, and I'm sort of drawing some comparisons between our two clubs, Ryan. I mean, we're bemoaning the fact earlier in the show that we're now losing out to teams like Preston, Wigan, Brentford. And talking about Brentford, you lost your popular goalkeeper, didn't you? Is it David Reyes?
Yeah.
He went to Brentford. So was that a bit of a blow for you?
Yeah, David Reyes. Yeah, big blow. So he was another academy product. Very, very good shot stopper. One of the best that I've seen in the division. Very good. So we all just thought, you know, three quarters of the way through last season, yep, Raya's going to be our keeper to take us forward. Then for some reason, he was out of the team for the last four games and people are thinking, okay, what's gone on here? And I think it's quickly emerged now that there was potentially a disagreement or something that's gone on behind the scenes where Raya's made it known that, yep, he'd like to seek pastures new. And, those rumours with Brentford were pretty persistent from as soon as the season finished, really.
Ryan, just before we lose you, because we have got to go, just very quickly, what is your score prediction for this Saturday?
2-0. I'd say business.
2-0 to Charlton. Oh, 2-0 to Blackburn. You missed that. All right. Cheers, Ryan. We really appreciate
it.
We'll speak to you later in the season. Ryan Hildred there from Rovers Chat. Unfortunately, we have nearly come to the end of the show this week, but there's still time. Ollie, Paul, a quick score prediction. 2-0 to Rovers, surely not.
Well, I actually agree with the margin of the score. I'm going for a 3-1 Blackburn Rovers win.
Poor.
Yeah,
poor.
I'm just being honest.
1-1, let's say
1-1.
There
we go. I've got to be honest, first game of the season, it's always tough. We don't know how the other teams have been. I fancy Cholton to nick a point as well.
Okay.
If this would have been at the Valley, I would have said Cholton would have got 3 points. But I don't know, Blackburn, they can run hot and cold. So I don't know about this. I'm expecting Cholton to get a point. There's a feel-good factor.
Yeah, you're right. I think Bowyer, it's August, and they've got a terrible record at winning opening games, Blackburn.
Well, there you have it. The Addicts, they're going for 3 points on Saturday, and they're going to get them.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.